All right. Jeremiah chapter 42. Jeremiah chapter 42. Hope you're reading your Bibles this week. Hope you had some time with the Lord already. And looking forward to hearing some more from Him, the great God. In Jeremiah chapter 42. We're going to look at something tonight that we call common Christianity. Common Christianity. In Jeremiah chapter 42, we'll just start reading in verse number 1, and we'll just work our way down and stop and catch some things along the way. I'm going to just pray first, and instead of reading the entire passage, we'll just catch them as we go. Amen. My Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your great goodness to us. I thank Your faithful people like Jeremiah that showed the value of just being faithful unto Thee. And Father, how he tirelessly endured so many different things, but he so believed in the message. And that it needed to be heard. He believed it needed to be heeded. But even when it wasn't heeded, he believed it needed to be heard. And Father, there is, You left it here for us. So though there are some sad testimonies here, but we can still hear it. And Father, we can be blessed by it and strengthened by it and encouraged by it and empowered by it. And I thank You for just being such a God that You're so worthy of just being faithful to. And Lord, and it's a privilege that You allow us that opportunity. So bless now tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this passage here, Jeremiah often he was preaching. He was always preaching to God's people, trying to encourage them to return to the Lord. And as we look in this passage, we're going to see some common things amongst God's people that we see today. And hopefully you see something to encourage you and strengthen you and to realize that God has a better way for us than they chose to take at this time. But and first thing I want you to notice, if you're taking notes, first thing I want you to notice is number one, the common call upon God. In common Christianity, there's a call upon God. I mean, everybody does it. There's a common call upon God. In verse number 1 of Jeremiah 42, the Word of God says this, that all the captains of the forces, Johanan, the son of Korea, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people, from the least even unto the greatest, came near, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do now behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. So we see there's a remnant of them left. They recognize, they're kind of trimmed down here. And they said, Lord, they're crying out to Jeremiah, let God hear. We beseech you, Jeremiah, talk to God for us and ask God to show us the way that we may walk and the thing that we may do. They recognize it's critical times, and it's not uncommon. In fact, it's very common for people to call upon God and to say, Lord, show us what we need to do and the way that we should walk. Second thing I want you to notice is a common promise to God. There's a common promise to God. They said, now if you'll just tell us this, we've got a promise unto God. Notice what they said in verse number 4. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. Now, I like the way he refers to them after they requested him. He said, I will pray unto the Lord your God. He's reminding them that this is your God that you want some help from. And he said, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep back nothing from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness. Oh, man, that's exactly what we want. He said, Jeremiah, that's what we're looking for. Tell us exactly what God wants. Hey, we'll be happy with that. This is what they're making that pledge here. And the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee unto us. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God. They said, if you'll just tell us exactly what God says, we don't care if it's good for us. We don't care if it's bad for us. We're going to do it. That's all we want. We want to know from you that what God wants, and whatever He says, we'll do it. Notice what it says next. We will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we will send thee, that it may be well with us. So they understand at this point that even if God asks them to do something evil for them, it's well for them. That it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. That's common Christianity. They commonly call upon God. Common promise to God. Anybody ever call upon God and say, Lord, if you show me what your will is, I just might do it. Nobody ever does that. They call upon God and say, Lord, if you just show me your will, I promise I'll trust you. I'll do what you ask me to do. That's common. People do that. Now, number three, the common command of God. God has a common command that He has for all His saints. Notice the beginning of verse number 7. And it came to pass, after 10 days, that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. You know, I like when you read the Bible and you see these prophets. The answer of God wasn't always instantly. People still had to wait. There's 10 days later. And here's Jeremiah. He's waiting 10 days. Now he's a prophet of God. And he's waiting and to get the answer of God. Then it comes to him. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan, the son of Korea, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people, from the least even to the greatest, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him, if ye will abide still in this land, then I will build you. So common command of God, number one, he says, hey, abide with me and I'll bless you. That's common. God tells that to his people. Hey, if you just abide with me, I will bless you. Great verse to be still and know that I am God. I went to the bank this morning and they were doing some things and they had to make me wait a little bit. And I said, I like waiting. Don't bother me. When I first came to Canada, I was getting some tracks made to Staples, and I kept going back and forth, and Staples was very busy and a lot of headaches. And the lady said, man, you've got to be the most patient man I've ever met in my life. You know, because I just sit there and sing, and everybody, all these other business people come in, they're frustrated, and you don't have it done now, and da-da-da-da-da. And I said, you don't understand. I said, when God saved me from a whirlwind life, I said, God gave me rest. And I said, hey, He sent me here to get it done, so if it's not ready or if I have to wait, this is part of the process. So I can just be still and see the salvation of the Lord. And as I abide in His presence, hey, I got to talk to you about Christ. There's other people that have to talk about Christ. He said, so many people listening get to hear about Christ. Amen. So you abide, God will bless. He tells them that. Second thing He tells them is to abide and I will plant you. Abide and I will plant you. That's common that God says in verse 10 right now. If you will abide still in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down and will plant you. Anybody dislike stability in their life? You know, even if you're a reckless person, you're reckless because there are certain things in your life you think are stable. Because you're reckless to a point, but when you're over, you want this one thing or this thing to be hold on to, you know. And God said, if you'll just abide, I'll plant you. That's a common promise of God. You know, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. What does it say in Psalm 1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And what does it say? And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So it's common. This is a common command of God. If you abide, I'll bless you. If you abide, I'll plant you. Common command we see also, look down at another verse here. It says, verse 11, and be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. Other common command is, fear not them which are able to destroy the body. Fear not them which are able to destroy the body. Hold your place. We'll see that Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, common command of God. He said, I know you're afraid of them, but don't be afraid of them. Fear not them. Because your fear is going to keep you from abiding in me. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 28. Let's read verse 27. I like this here. He said, and what I tell you in the darkness, that speak you in the light. When you're in the prayer closet, God tells you some good things. He said, don't keep it to yourself. Amen. Tell it in the light. Amen. And then he says, and what you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." I'm convinced that most mistakes in religion are made by fear of man or fear of something, you know, whether it be fear of Satan even, you know. Sometimes we get afraid of Satan and we react, you know. God said, don't even fear Satan. He says, fear him and keep his commandments. So he, common command of God, abide and I will bless, abide and I'll plant you, fear not then which able to destroy the body. And then last thing we see, abide and I will show you mercy. Abide and I will show you mercy. He continues the context in verse 12 and says, and I will show mercies unto you. Well, you know, mercy is a great thing, man. Thank the Lord for His mercy. And thank the Lord that it endureth forever. Amen. What a great God we have. And He said, I will show mercies unto you that He may have mercy upon you and cause you to return unto, cause you to return to your own land. So see, in common Christianity, there's a common call upon God, common praise to God, common commands of God. God said, if you'll just abide with me, stay with me, I'll bless you. Abide, I'll plant you. I'll make you solid, like that tree that's tended by the rivers of water. And he said, don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't fear those that will destroy the body. And if you'll just abide with me, I'll show you mercy. Next thing we see in common Christianity is number four, the common cause for rebellion. The common cause for rebellion. Notice verse 13 here. But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we will see no war. Common cause number one, we want a place of no war. We want a place where there's just no problems, no war, no, nothing going on. And so they're going to, and eventually you're going to see, they're going to go back to Egypt because they don't want a place of war. They don't want any battles, and that really goes hand in hand. Second thing, common cause of rebellion, we want a place where we don't have to fight. Because they said, nor hear the sound of the trumpet. You know, the trumpet was sounded when God's armies were ready to go into battle. You know, and we want a place where we don't even have to fight. You know, that's the common cause for rebellion. You know, the Christian life, the Bible says that we need to war, a good warfare. I tell you, one of the privileges of being in the military is realizing the great agony and suffering of people within the military. You know, and really being able to make an application to spiritual warfare. Because, you know, it's funny, when you're a spectator, when I was a kid, they used to have this movie called The Rat Patrol. These guys would run across the Jeep in the desert, man, bounce off firing a 50 caliber gun. And I remember seeing some movie with Audie Murphy. I don't know if you know him, but he had some great World War II movies. And, man, Audie Murphy, he'd have this machine gun. He'd be crawling over rocks and everything, and he'd just be going and going and going and fighting. And I thought, man, what a life, man. He's playing in the dirt. He's rolling in the dirt, firing a machine gun. And then I got in basic training. They dropped me down, and I'm climbing over rocks. And I'm thinking, you know, we ain't low crawling over rocks. It hurts. and you're crawling the barbed wire fences, and they're firing live rounds over your head. And they're firing about 6 feet high, so you don't do anything crazy and raise up and get hit. But they are firing live rounds over your head, and as you get your idea of being in war. And I'm thinking, man, and a couple times you raise up the backside, and you find out that barbed wire on the backside isn't very pleasant either. But in real war situations, that's the things you have to go to. And I begin to realize that people that actually go to war, when they fight, they suffer. See, I thought it was like when I just kind of equated like with sports, you know, because we train hard and we had some suffering a little bit. And I thought, man, you have this, but when you're suffering playing an athletic event, like when I played football and got hit, there's some adrenaline, there's some things about it that you just kind of excited about it. But I'm thinking, man, this is suffering. And along the way, you know, people die. And I thought, man, this is... And, you know, I thought to myself, I don't want to be in this. I just need to be in this, you know. And this happened, the same thoughts, you know, come across God's people's mind. But, you know, the people that really fought the hardest really believed they had a cause worth fighting for. And David, just like when he met Goliath, he thought he had a cause worth fighting for. You know, and you think about in your Christian life, the things that go undone before God. Is it a cause worth fighting for? And I'm amazed at just this new year trying to get into the Word of God more than ever. You know, how it's just hard. The flesh just says, don't do it. The flesh says, doze off. The flesh says many things. The flesh says, just rest. And, you know, it's a fight just to do spiritual warfare. There's times that I've got on my face to pray, and all of a sudden, I was turned sleepy all of a sudden. So I have to get up and walk around to pray. And if I really want to pray, I have to do something to where I can focus and actually be there. There's a fight. But they said here, you know what? But he said, if you don't obey the Lord, saying, he's saying, now this is the excuses you're going to give me. We will go into the land of Egypt, where we will see no war. You know, many, I think the Bible says it's high time to wake out of sleep. You know, many people would just want to walk around, not even see the issues that's really going on. Because then we can just be, you know, that's why recreation is so popular. Because it causes you to ignore all the negative things that are going on and the great needs of people in this world. But he said, if they want a place for no war, and they said, we want a place you don't have to fight. And then the last thing they said, nor, that's her verse 14, nor have hunger, bread, and there we will dwell. We don't want to lack any necessities of life. That's common cause of rebellion. We don't want a place of war. We don't want to have to fight. And we sure don't want to lack any necessities of this life. This is what they said here. This is in common Christianity. This is the common reasons people walk away from the Lord. Why do marriages fail? People don't want to fight. He said, well, what do you mean? You're not supposed to fight in marriage. No, you're supposed to fight for your marriage. And you fight spiritually for your marriage. If you have children, you don't fight your children, but you fight for your children. You fight the devil, you fight yourself, you fight society, you fight everything that tried to take them, destroy them, and keep them from following God. Why do people not stay in churches? Because they don't want to fight. It's easier to go. Hey, if you want a good church, you have to fight for it. Same thing, you got to fight yourself, you got to fight Satan, you got to fight for the Lord, you got to fight your flesh all the time, that you can be that person that God would have you to be. You got to fight the desire to quit. And in that fight, you do without some necessities. But this was the common cause. Number five. Now here's a common caution by God. Now God knows us, and thank God He does, and He never gave up on us, you know. The common caution, God gives common cautions to us when He gives us instruction. First thing He tells us, and we see in verse 16 and 7, number one, He says that if you do rebel, you will die in your fear. You will die in your fear. Then, verse 16, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I shall bring them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when ye shall enter into Egypt, and ye shall have been an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more. So he tells them in verse 16, he says, and it come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you. That when you walk away from God, the thing that you fear most, that's what you die in. You die in that same fear. Number B, the next thing we see, the caution by God, is he would no longer see God's place of blessing. That's what in verse 18, he tells them they're going to be execration, astonishment, be removed, they're going to be accursed, and he said, ye shall see this place no more. God wanted them to abide in the land and be blessed in the land. You know, God wanted them to receive the blessing, but he said, I'm just going to caution you that, you know what, if you don't trust me, basically, you're not going to see this place of blessing. Next thing he said, common caution, you have asked for my wisdom and chosen to disobey. Because he said in verse 19 to 21, he explains to them, he says, the Lord hath said concerning you, O remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For ye dissembled in your hearts when ye sent unto me, when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, we shall do it. You know, God cautions us. He said, you ask for wisdom, and I'm telling you what you ask for. What's the issue? You know, and he cautions, he's warning them here. And that's a common caution. You know, when we ask God for wisdom, we need to trust the wisdom that he is, because he tells us. And then finally, he tells us, last of all, and we get this from the context, he says in verse 21, and now I have declared, I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he sent has sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, in the place whither ye desire to go and to sojourn. Lastly, the common caution by God is simply the wages of sin is death. That's a common caution, nothing new. You know, every time, every confrontation of God, if you stay in fear in the land, you'll die in that fear. If you walk away from God, you'll no longer see His place of blessing. You ask for God's wisdom, and the thing you're afraid of is trusting the will of God. The last thing we see in chapter 43, and this one, you know, two things want to really help you the most, I think. If you think about how God commonly commands His place of blessing, and the thing to commonly distract us, but the last thing I want you to notice is a common response to preaching that requires faith in God. The common response to preaching that requires faith in God. You know, I used to think that people just didn't like hard preaching. But I finally understand that people don't like faith preaching. I say in general, you know, when your heart's turned to the Lord. I mean, just in general, because we're dealing with His people here, so we can learn something. But notice what He said in verse 1 of chapter 43. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent to them, even all these words. Then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and of Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go into Egypt to sojourn there. Now, I call this a common response to preaching that requires faith in God, because God was commanding to live a life of faith. You know, he gave him his word. But they could see Egypt. It looked like, man, there's no war over there. There's no battles over there. Hey, it's going to be great for us. They have plenty of stuff over there. We won't want of anything. And God said, if you just abide with me, I'll bless you. And so their response was, now they went to Jeremiah initially because they believed, hey, you're the one that will give us the words of God. You're the one that will help us. And you're the one that, and he told them, you know, everything God tells you, I'll tell you exactly what he says. And yeah, that's exactly what we want. And then God tells them, then God, through Jeremiah, gives them a command that requires faith. And know they said, well, God didn't tell you that. No, God didn't mean that. He said, in fact, it was so much as to say, you're a liar. Thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. You know, hey, God surely didn't tell you to tell us not to go into Egypt. And here it is. You know, I thought about through the years when I thought people didn't like hard preaching. And I mean when I was sitting under preaching. And I realized this is the common denominator. Preaching that is disliked by people that aren't totally surrendered to God, and this is our admonition to not be that way, it's preaching that causes us to turn away from something that we can see to something that we cannot see. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, by the human eye, Egypt looked like a pretty good place to be. And I think of different times through the years, the preaching that I sat under, people got mad over, was when the pastor would say, turn away from something that they could see unto something that they could not see. And as children of God, God tries to lead you and I to live a life based, live a life wholeheartedly devoted unto a God that we cannot see, and trust Him for things that we cannot see, and trust Him to even work a power that we cannot see, and sometimes the thing that crosses my mind, God didn't say that. Surely God didn't send you to do that. And many things are missed out, and many blessings are missed out. And God wants us to walk with Him, because let's read the rest down to verse 7 here. And verse 2 again, then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us. Hey, you're out to get me. It's so bad. You just don't want me to have anything, you know? You're against us. For to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans. Now, you're trying to hurt us now. That's what they're saying. That they might put us to death. Your counsel now, they're telling Jeremiah, you're trying to counsel us and put us in a situation where we're really going to die. That's the response to preaching that required faith in God. And to carry us captives into bondage. We're going to lose our freedom. We're going to be in bondage if we do what you told us to do. So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces, and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah that were returned from all nations, whether they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah. Even men and women and children and kings and the king's daughters and every son that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, the prophet, and Baruch, the son of Neriah. So they came unto the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even to Tophnes. Now, that's common Christianity. Common Christianity, there's a common call upon God. Whatever it takes. The common Christianity looks for a person, looks for the Word, and says, "How? I just want to know God's will for my life." That's a common call. And then there's a common promise to God. Well, Lord, I just want to know Your will. I just want to have the peace of knowing that I'm doing what You want me to do with my life. Then God gives common commands. He said, hey, if you just abide in Me, I'll bless you. We sing it. If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. He said, if you abide, I'll plant you, and I'll make you strong. Versus be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. It's good to be strong, because you can stand when you're strong. Then He says, fear not them that can destroy the body. And common commands. And then He says, abide, and I'll show you mercy. You know, because sometimes you're abiding, and you can stumble while you're abiding. But it's one thing to stumble. You know, when I was in the military, we'd be in a position, in formation sometimes, in a position of tension, and guys would listen to the sergeant, they lock their knees. They'd be standing there firm, just like everybody else. I mean, looking strong. And all of a sudden, you just see somebody kill over him. Now, the drill sergeant didn't reprimand them. They broke formation. They ruined the whole thing of military bearing, but drill sergeant didn't scream at a guy that passed out, you know. He was trying to do the right thing. He just left off a little bit of instruction, you know. And that happens when you're serving God sometimes. You'll stand firm and you'll miss a little bit of instruction by God, and you may fall over. And even those that put you, they'll just pick you up, you know. That's the Christian life. A just man falleth seven times, you know, and rise up again. And he says, but the common cause of rebellion. Don't get tired of fighting. The Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. We have a cause worth fighting for. I was thinking when Yoda was praying for your family, I'm wondering anybody thinking, why does he write down that every single time that she said to pray for her family? Because it's that important. And every time David asked for prayer for Davidson and Kenny and Davika, and I write it down because it's that important. And your prayer request, and because they're that important, you know. And because writing it down, it helps me to go when I go to, and I take my list most of the time, but it helps me the fact that I wrote it down one more time to etch it in my mind that this is important. This is something worth fighting for, you know. We're not just trying to, man, it should be nice to have them in church, but man, want them to be saved and serving God and doing what God would have them to do. That takes some fighting. You know, there are many times I pray when I don't want to pray. There's many times I'm praying when my flesh says, why don't you just take a nap? No, but it's worth fighting for, you know. And he said, this demands a war, you know. And you know, sometimes it hurts to live the Christian life. Do you know that? It does. It really does. but thank God, I wouldn't want to do anything else. And because in those moments of battle, there's also the greatest joys and victories I've ever experienced this side of heaven. And he says, another common cause, well, we don't want to lack any necessities. I trust God more. I would do what God says, but man, I can't see how God's going to work that out. And then God gives a common caution. If you live in fear, you'll die in fear. If you turn away from me, you'll no longer see the place of blessing. You know, what they forgot, you know, see, they thought that life was going bad. I was reading a different passage where they thought that, well, everything started going wrong since we stopped serving these false gods. Well, no, what had happened, by the time they stopped serving false gods, the mercy of God, they had to, you reap what you sow. Hey, if you go live it up and you go do something crazy and go spend a lot of money and get in debt and that wasn't ordained by God, I mean, you didn't disobey God, you can repent, but you still got to pay the bills off. That's the way it goes. And God shows mercy, and He'll help you walk through that and give you peace and grace through it all. Amen. But He warns him here. And then he says, you asked for my wisdom. And he said, why did you ask me? And now, do you realize what you're doing? He said, you asked the God who is love for direction and instruction for your life, and now you're afraid to trust the God who is love. He said, God, that's a caution. Do you understand? I mean, do you understand? And if you understand that God is love, do you hear that from a loving God? He's trying to say, now think about what you're doing. Okay, God is love. I made you. You asked me for direction for your life. And now I've given you direction, and it doesn't look like, based on your estimation, that it's in your best interest. And so you're going to turn away from God who is love to follow somebody else other than God is love, who is love. And he says, think about what you just, because you asked me before because you knew I was love. And you knew before, because they testified, that even if you asked me to do something that seemed evil to me, hey, we'll do it. Because it'll be well with us. You know, there's a couple of times, you know, I remember Brother Bell, I love him, he was talking to somebody, was interested in his daughter. You have to know Brother Bell. And he sat him down and talked to him. I said, I want you to understand something. He said, you need to honor my daughter, you respect my daughter. He said, if you lay a hand on my daughter, he said, I'll turn to my ordination, I'll turn to my license, I'll turn to my preacher's breath mints. and he said, because there's still part of me that ain't saved yet. He let the guy know that he heard him, you know. And it's part of me that sometimes, you know, when you have an enemy, there's a part of you that would just like to do something, you know. But that's the flesh. That's wrong. And in those times, it seemed like it would be in my best interest to stand up for me and to do something and just handle this matter and make sure that I'm never abused again. Make sure I'm never taken advantage of again. But you know what? God says, no, just if it seems evil, just like be like me. What could be more evil than the perfect God of creation robing himself in flesh and walking in this life perfectly in that flesh, proving that he had power over flesh, and never doing one thing wrong, living out his character, his nature, his being, which is love, amongst all these people, and they curse him. And they don't just curse him, but they spit upon him. They mock him. They scourge him. They stick a spear in his side. They crucify him. I bet that seems wrong. In fact, that seems evil. But you know, as much as my heart gets heavy when I think about that, at the same time, there's part of me that says, I'm alive because of it. I'm so thankful that though it seemed evil unto him, he said he did his Father's will. Amen. I've got eternal life because of that. Amen. And so God cautions. He says, don't leave my place of blessing. The instruction that I'm giving you in response to you wanting to know from me, he said, I love you. And I'm going to use you in a way that you could not even plan to use yourself. And he said, the wages of sin is still death. Don't go that route. And then he reveals to us last fall, in common Christianity, there's a common response to preaching that requires faith in God. That could not be the will of God for my life. Always, God lacing down for us, perfect plan, and then Satan lays things out for us to trip up God's plans. Satan always puts them out there nice and neat for us to trust in other than God himself. And in common Christianity, people look at whoever gives them the truth and say, no, that's not from God. I just so happen Jeremiah was a pastor, but you may have a godly friend. If you have godly friends, they'll wound you sometime. If you have friends that you think are godly and they don't ever tell you anything wrong with you, they're probably not really your friends. The Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. So find some friends that will wound you. And I mean, it may hurt, but you'll be better for it, you know. And thank God when we have a friend that's sick of close to the brother, you know. I mean, I love God. God's holy. I just don't understand how people can say they're in the presence of a holy God all the time and God never shows them anything wrong with themselves. I mean, maybe I'm just worse off than everybody else is, and I can't believe that. I can definitely believe that. But I just, when you think about the holiness of God, I mean, if you get into His presence, you're going to say, wow, I'm not like that. Because I know you don't believe this, but when I'm preaching something, I'm not thinking about you're not like that. I'm thinking, wow, man, I'm not like that. I'm thinking, Lord, help me to be like you. Amen. I'm looking at these people, and I'm thinking about the number of times I've called upon God. I think the number of times I've been in a difficult situation, and I said, Lord, I just want to have the peace of knowing that I'm doing exactly what you want me to do. And then the Spirit of God burdens my heart, and God will send me a verse, and the Holy Ghost will show me clearly. And the Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. I'll know it's the voice of God, and God will say, this is for you. And I say, huh? Are you sure? No, Lord, maybe you didn't understand my question. And God said, just be still, and I will bless. And by, I will plant you. And you know, the common cause of rebellion, they affect me just like everybody else. Sometimes I get tired of fighting too. But then the Holy Ghost just sends in reinforcements. He says, rise up, O man of God. Now I think about the cautions, not just from God, but from the God who is love. And then God generally takes me back to someone I was taught by my pastor. For several of them, the one I got saved under, the one I got to first serve on staff at a church under, different things he shared with me and taught me regarding ministry. And there are times I would say, man, I'm not sure about that. But God, have mercy on me. If I ever just say that, I'll speak it falsely, like these people did. God wants us to not be common Christians. because there's so much that He can do. But we got to be in position to live the uncommon life. And we got to be willing to trust God enough to live a life of faith. I've said it before, and I say it because I really believe it bears worth repeating. Most people quit on God, and most people run away from God when they're living a life of faith. And that's when they're living a life of evidence of things not seen. But that's when God knows you trust Him the most. And if you love Him, there's nothing like abiding in His presence. The invitation is very simple tonight. Are we common Christians? Are we faithful Christians? Ask the Lord and respect whatever answer He gives you. Father, we thank You tonight for the Word of God. Thank You for the precious people. Lord, I know You don't want any of us to be common Christians. You want us to be faithful Christians. But Father, I just pray You put this in Your Word for a reason. And You showed us the tragedy of these people that had a heart that so longed to do what You wanted them to do. Father, they pled with the man of God to show them Your will. And Father, they had such confidence in trusting You that they said, Lord, they would even obey You if it was evil for them. But somewhere along the way, they continued to be common instead of being Christ-like. Because our Savior was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.